Any actual comments, and also it's good to see that besides Chairman Cox, somebody else can do a hands-on presentation in XBL, so that's very good. Thank you very much. Now back to Europe. We have the next speaker, Dr. Matthias Büger from Deutsche Bank, the largest German bank, and he will talk to us about XBL creating value by implementation of standard formats. Dr. Büger?
So, good morning to everybody. First of all, a big thank to the organizers of this conference. It's an honor for me to be invited here and to speak to you this morning and give a short keynote here at this place. And what I really want to do today is, in my keynote, to tell you some motivating words here and to talk about the challenges also which are ahead of all of us. So what I want to talk is, I want to talk about the importance of standards. I want to say some words, not going too much into detail, about the role of XBRL in financial services, like in our bank. And then I want to have a brief look what is really ahead of us. So, first of all, we sometimes feel that really dealing with technical standards is a very new issue, so just arising in the, let's say, the last decade. But in fact, when I was preparing this keynote here, I thought the story itself is a very old one. So it really goes back to one of the oldest books, to the Bible. So the question whether standards are important is nothing which just arose from technical issues or from electronic devices. So as you might know, when people want to build a tower up to heaven, the way God could have this project to fail was not to have a big wind and to put it all down, but simply to take away the common standards which these people had, which was the common language. So without a common standard, people could not go on building this tower, which was anyway not a very good idea, but besides that. But so we really see that lack of common standard as very old knowledge is a big problem and can really have a big project to fail. So going a little bit more to the economic things from that on, is that in economy we face something which I call, or which is often called, the critical mass problem. So if you look on the graph there, if you have a network product, and there are a lot of network products, just think of this as something like a telephone, but you can also think of a payment system, then typically the benefit for users, this is this blue line over there, the benefit for users depends on the number of application of other people using that system. Think of a payment system which no one other uses than you, then the system is more or less useless. On the other hand side, the cost per user is very high if there are only very few users, but it decreases and finally comes to some limit when you really have a large number of users there. And somewhere in between these two lines cross, and they cross at particular that point where you have a kind of a critical mass. So if you are beyond that, so on the right side of this critical mass point, then you won. The thing is running by itself, because for everyone participating in the system costs less than its benefit. But normally you start on the left side, and this really causes the real problem. So when you're starting out on the left side, and in the last decade we see many projects who really stayed under this left side and died, then really what we have to do is to say, well, how can we get beyond this critical mass? And one key measure is, not the only one, but one key measure is to have a common standard, so that there are not islands where people communicate, but with one common standard, stick together and make this mass larger. But however, unfortunately, providing a technical solution and even providing a standard might not be sufficient. So also for this, again, and my last very old example here. So I quote here the Western Union internal memo, which is, I think, really very much well known, which is from the year 1876, a year where the telephone was, from the technical thing, let's say, more or less mature, and there was at least some standard there. And in about 2 years later, the first telephone book in Berlin was printed, and so on. But there, in an internal memo saying, may I just quote this, saying, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us." So what really happened here was not that there was no technical solution, there was no standard, but the people could not even think, how can we put such a telephone in our normal ways of communication? How can we put it in our business process? We are not used to that kind of communication. And just besides, this first telephone book in Berlin, printed about that time, was called the Book of the 70 Silly People. By the Berlin people, because they're saying, well, there was really no need to have a telephone. None of my friends have one, so they did not use that in the past, so there is no reason why I should use it in the future. And so, from that on, let me say, well, what does this mean? Now, coming back here to this conference for Explore L. Well, it does not mean, oh, we have a big problem and should not go on. I think we have a thing which is really worth fighting for it. But it is, in order to bring Experial forward, it is, of course, the technique, it's, of course, the standard, and we, of course, need this work. But what we also have to do is, we have to shift from pure developing technology to initiating a cultural change. And it will need, up to some extent, a cultural change to use Experial. And I personally think that this is really the biggest challenge we will have, which is ahead of us in the next time. So, with this introduction, let me go into the role of Explorel in financial services. And as I said, I want to do this, not going into too much detail, since I know that they are, not all bankers here in front of me. So what is really, for us as a bank, important is, for example, some company comes to us and wants to have, applies for a loan. So then, of course, we need their financial data. And a typical way, which is still happening, is they come with some original financial statements, and they are here in a paper-based form. And yeah, well, although I don't know the exact percentage, but there's even today a significant part where we really get paper-based data there. So not really even electronic ones. And then, of course, what we have to do is we have to aggregate this data, we have to map it to the banking scheme, which might really be like here, I have this picture of the calculator there. So really someone sitting there looking, which is that data here, what is the data there? Of course, I have to ask the customer again, what is really the data here, there? Can you give me more details? I do not understand what you mean by this on that number. So a lengthy process, process which also involves the company who applies for the loan. And when we have then at this the second step, the data capture, then only at the end of this red arrow there, we really have the data into our financial analytical system. And from that point on, then it's pure our banking system. Then the whole thing runs as it runs in our house and as it runs in all other banks, someone differently in each bank. And then we have the credit reporting system, which at the end, together, of course, with the bank analyst, who can then have a look at this data, the data which is really aggregated and with the data which is really brought to him in the way how the bank wants it to have, that the bank analyst can at the end say, well, yes, we will have this loan or we'll have it for a certain price and whatever. What we really hope to be and what we really think of would be the ultimate solution here would be to have to get not the document in paper-based form, not to get it electronically, but an individual standard, so let's say without a standard, but to get it here as Xperial, and we really feel that Xperial here is the key to have this as a very, let's say, as a very lean processing here, because then in case we had Xperial here, would be relatively easy to simply put it in. We could have an automatic mapping, and that this automatic is here really the key word on this slide, the automatic mapping, and we can have an electronic feed into our system, because this Xperial has all the information inside which we need, and we can then map it in our system. This is something which goes very fast, that there is no need for asking back to the controllers of our customer and to ask what they really mean by it, and would really help us to improve the whole business process a lot. Therefore, and having said this, my key finding here and our key finding is that Xperial really is a win-win, or maybe I should rather say a win-win-win situation, if I have this three-corner model here. So of course, as I said, I stand here as a banker, and of course it is an advantage for us as a bank. We would get better data quality, of course a more cost efficiency. The thing is just that they just automatically put in that we do not need an analyst sitting there and asking what is meant there. We have, of course, a very transparent rating, which helps us, of course. But we also see the same advantages for enterprises, that the credit decision could be provided faster. And of course, they have less expenses, because simply they can just give us the Xperial data, and there is no need for requests and asking them again, and which of course costs them also time and effort. And also, I think, which is nearly the same, much worse about that, for the public sector, it's a more efficient data handling. They are just mentioned here, for example, our central bank and the general registrar here in Germany, which I think did really a very good job in implying Xperial. And of course, you also get from this public sector more transparency. So, having said that, I think just want to go to the way ahead. So, what lies really ahead of us? Well, we as a bank really face big trends, big changes in the environment going on. We think that the information society in general changes the world significantly. And just as an example, I put here the word the integration and the network, and integration here, the drivers, which are the drivers from this book of Thomas Friedman. So participation, collaboration, scale. And of course, the drivers on the network side, which are the information society, transparent markets, which I think help all of us. And global distribution, well, of labor, of money, of capital, and here this and this Google, eBay, and so on, you really see that the way the information society was in the last decade really changed a lot, from simply providing information to really collaboration, working together, and this also has a large effect on the global economy. So of course globalization is something we all talk about, but just to give here some data, only 15 years ago, and really seems to be centuries ago, only one third of the world really participated in a global economy. Now it's, if you'll see it, see China came, Eastern Europe came in India, so we have nearly 6 billion people who more or less connected with the global economy, and more than 2 billion people as the labor force who really work and do something which is connected with the global economy. And we also, we need something, like going back to my Tower of Babel, we have problems if we still talk one language in each country, and the same here, if we need a standard, we need it as a global standard. It does not make sense if we have local standards in such a world. We have the trend of virtualization. Was even a German car, which you car factory, which you might know. I think others did the same. Where the first car just manufactured only in a virtual way, that the whole planning was virtual, and then bits and bytes sent to different machines in different parts of the world. And the way of the collaboration also became much more from human interacting to virtual groups. And having said that, and that's I'm coming to my last slide, I think in such a world which becomes global, which becomes virtual, there is for me not the question, will there be a standard electronic reporting? Of course there will be, because there is a need for one. And there is no way why not. The question might only be, when will it be? And of course, as always, the question might be, which will it be exactly? And these are the two questions we really, and I think that this conference can have a magnificent contribution to it. And going back to my telephone example, I think I don't know if all of you agree with me, but I have the feeling that XBRL is now somewhere where the telephone might have been in the early 1900s. So the technique's mature. We know technically what to do. We have a common standards. But the usage, let's say at least at some parts, at least where I come from the financial sector, is still not that high as we all hope it to be. And the people's behavior in many ways has not yet changed. And also the advantage, as I put out on this win-win-win situation, is not that clear to everybody as it should be. And so I think our job here, and I hope that from this conference comes a big signal in that direction, to show that there really is a big value in XBRL, and it is our job not only to provide the technique and the standard, but really to have this XBRL go up to speed, because it is worth it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bueger.